Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Him with the rebuild. Are we comfortable at this point? It's still early in his tenure, but again, he has shown that there is an inability, at least to this point, to make the right trades. If you've decided that the big three has to be broken up, whoever your guy is, Lord knows that's a whole nother hour-long discussion, then I think a question that has to also come into that is, should Zach Kleiman be the guy that's leading that?
Jason, thanks very much. I'll be listening to you from 11 to 2. Thanks.
Yes, sir, brother.
I got to take a break. Late to get to Chris Harrington. We'll do that next. Jeff Calkins, Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That's Born Under a Bad Sign by Memphis blues great Albert King. Born on this day in 1923. Sort of an appropriate anti-anthem for this Grizzly season, maybe.
Yeah. So you wrote a piece about it. I've tweeted it out. This is not, it may be the biggest blown lead in Grizzlies playoff history, but not the most, not the worst loss in Grizzlies playoff history. What would you, where would you go there? What's your choice for worst loss?
Oh, I mean, I was just trying to come up with something to say, but, you know, the stakes were not as high as some others in franchise history. I mean, you lose game 7 on your home floor. Right. That's pretty bad. You know, you lose game 1 when you're the higher seed, when you have a 24-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Oh, God.
You know, not at halftime. And the bottom, like, falls out very suddenly. I mean, last night was sort of a slow drip. That game 1 against the Clippers in 2012 is sort of just sort of a sudden thing that happened with those big young threes. You know, losing that triple overtime at home is a little bit different kind of feel because, like, you feel like you got your money's worth on that even though you lost. And, you know, there are others along the way. But last night was, you know, had a lot of different components to it in terms of, like, the manner of the loss. It was like an elaborate series of feelings that went into that one.
Well, it's interesting because you talked about, you mentioned the stakes. They weren't as high, obviously, because I don't think anyone thought they were going to win the series and whatnot, but it appeared they were going to win the night. And as you pointed out in your piece, there may have been some hope in the second half of game 2 and the first half of game 3 of the Grizzlies finding something. What was that something?
You know, the giant injury last night in some ways was similar to what happened in the play-in game against Golden State. Obviously, he came back and played in that game. But in the sense that the very highest moment for the team within the game is the precise moment when he hits the floor and gets hurt. And in that Golden State game, they'd come back all the way, and he hits this shot, I think, to bring them within 1, and they have the momentum. And the second you reach sort of the crest of this wave, it just crashes down. And last night, it felt like the peak of the entire game for the Grizzlies happened the second before that, where they're pulling away, they're building a huge lead, they get the steal, you're coming down the floor, and this is the moment where everything is cresting. In that precise moment, he hits the floor. And I do think they had sort of figured something out against the Thunder, whether they would figure it out enough to really get back in the series and make it a long series, much less win it. Like, I don't know about that. But they made an adjustment, I think, at halftime of game 2 to really quicken up their offense in a way that would help minimize turnovers. And they carried that over the start of game 3. And if you look at the second half of game 2 and the first half of game 3, their turnovers are way down. Basically, they're just taking the first good shot they can find. It's like I joke to say the anti-Hoosiers, like the four pass, whatever. It's just get down the floor fast and take the first good shot you see. Because the more you dribble and the more you pass, the more their defense will take the ball away from you and you'll score. And I think they found something that works against that team. They would have won that game if Morant hadn't gotten hurt. Whether they would have won any other games, I don't know. But they found a more effective strategy. And I think that's something other teams around the league should take a look at in terms of dealing with this Thunder team. I actually feel less confident about the Thunder now than I did going into the series in terms of what they're going to do going forward.
It was a blast. honestly. I mean, obviously, Scottie Pippen isn't going to, you know, drop in three-pointer after right. three-pointer after three-pointer. But, you know, I thought Ja using Edie, he was being incredibly crafty. Like, Edie was being deployed. He was like a bludgeon out there. I just, there were a lot of things they were doing that you know, that were being effective. That, you know, and then the shot making obviously was a big part of that too. What did you think of Ja before he got hurt?
I thought he was, that's the other thing. It's like, it's sort of related to the crest of that wave. The reason it was cresting is because he had found a rhythm, I think a better rhythm than he'd had in to that point in the series, in terms of getting to his own spots to score and also engaging other players, Edie in particular. And so he had like 15 points and 5 assists in that moment. That's 5 assists with like 3 minutes to go in the half.
Yeah.
And his assist numbers were high. I don't remember what they were, but they were not high in games 1 and 2. And I've always said that the best version of Ja for the Grizzlies as a team is one that balances the scoring and the playmaking, where you have, you know, where you're filling up both categories instead of being like, you know, instead of 40 points and 5 assists, make it 25 and 10, like that kind of thing. And that's the kind of game he was having. And I think the team was humming. And again, it's like the precise moment where it's all coming together is the moment it falls apart. And it feels like, you know, that's kind of been the season for the Grizzlies.
Scottie Pippen picks off the pass. They go down. He's on the break. Ja's trailing. He drops it off the Ja. What did you make of the play? And, I mean, Scottie Pippen was I didn't think it was dirty. I guess Desmond Bane, I wasn't in the locker room when he talked, sort of said undercutting. He made some Drew said that he made some comment about undercutting people. It clearly wasn't intentional.
Right.
What did you make of the way the play unfolded?
You know, it's not that dissimilar. I mean, it's a little bit different because there are more bodies and shoving involved. But it's not that dissimilar from the Amen Thompson, Jimmy Butler thing that happened the night before, where a similar undercut and similar injury that similarly seemed to lack intent. I mean, a play can be kind of reckless a little bit, a mixture of reckless and accidental without there being intent. It wouldn't have mattered to the game, but I was surprised they didn't call it a flagrant one, because you don't have to have intent
right.
for something to be flagrant. And it was kind of rich for like that just to be a common foul, and then like you have this play where like a minute later where Pippen goes in for a layup and his foot sort of shoves the hip of a player, and that gets called for a flagrant, which is defensible to call that a flagrant, but like I think the notion was on a flagrant. I think any time someone gets undercut and hits the floor, it's probably a flagrant one. It's the way the NBA is officiated these days. That doesn't bring John Morant back. You know, it's easy in retrospect. It's also bang bang. Like in retrospect, if you were playing over again, you would have wanted Pippen to just take it up and risk getting blocked. You know, but in that moment with Dort charging at you and Morant trailing, like, that's kind of the instinctual right basketball yeah. play, because you yeah. don't know what's going to come out that way.
Yeah. No, and Ja is, you know, would figure out a way to finish, and that's what he does. He would have contorted himself in a way that would have gotten the bucket, and the lead would have been extended, and we would be talking about a victory today. There's no question in my mind that there's not much question in your mind, I take it, that they would have won that game had Ja remained healthy.
Yeah, no, they would have won that game if Ja had continued to play. It might have tightened up, but they were up enough that his ball handling. I mean, what happens in the second half to me is like a perfect storm. It's a combination of three things. It's one, you lose Ja Morant, and I think losing Ja Morant against this defense exposes something about your ball handling depth and talent on your team that's not named Ja Morant. But two, I think Oklahoma City like smells blood in the water. And so they ramp it up in response to Ja being out. And then the third thing is, like, in addition to just the lack of ball handling talent, I just think this part of the spirit of the whole building got sapped
100%
when Ja went down, you know? And so it's all three of those things come together and creates this perfect storm and sort of leads that outcome. And, like, if Ja's there, like, you know, none of those three things are happening. Like Oklahoma City still rackets up its defense trying to make a comeback. But dude, it doesn't have that blood in the water intensity of, oh, look, these guys, we could tip them over if we just push a little bit harder. And so I think there's no doubt in my mind that the Grizzlies win that game if that doesn't happen.
To the ball handling point, I mean, Scottie Pippen said this. We lost a ball handler. You know, really, they lost the ball handler. Like, really, like, Scottie Pippen, for all his strengths, you've said this before, he's not a classic point guard ball handler, right? And that's, and he's the backup point guard. And then there's, you know, and so they were sort of bereft in that.
And there's no other point guard. They don't have a.
There's no other, yeah.
Pippen's more of a combo guard who's short, and they don't have another point guard on their roster. So I think this is something, like, if it hadn't been, you know, 1 a.m. already by the time we could sit down and write, I would have gotten into, and it was just too late. But one of the things was, I think one of the things that got exposed was, you know, there are many roster construction problems with the Grizzlies this season we've been talking about. One of them is sort of this ball handling lack. And I think they were too, like, dismissive of the need for, like, another point guard going into the season, and sort of believed in this idea of, like, non-point guard lineups and Bane and Kennard and all of that, and the data's been good on that. There were stretches in the regular season where that looked fine, and maybe it sort of worked a little bit better with the old offense than it does now. But in playoff basketball against a defense like Oklahoma City, it's like, it just shows you, like, I think one of the subplots of the season is that Desmond Bane has been overtaxed as a ball handler and a creator. That his natural position, his natural use is the off-ball shooter, play finisher. It's not the guy who you're relying on to create offense. And I think, like, he's okay at that, but he's really been overtaxed, and that second half was a great example.
He was overtaxed at that, and then he couldn't hit a shot. It was not, obviously, a great game for Desmond Bane.
Yeah, but those things might be related, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, right. I was going to ask. Maybe
he's making better shots. He's making shots at a higher rate when he's not as taxed with the other stuff, and he can get more of a rhythm of just catch and shoot and coming off screens and playing more like a traditional two-guard.
Beyond, obviously, it was just a collapse, and I think a lot of it was a collapse of spirit, but who to you either distinguished themselves or the reverse for the Grizzlies in that game last night?
Oh, I think Pippen has been an absolute find for the Grizzlies this season. And yeah, he had hot shooting in the first half, and you can't depend on that. But his shooting numbers on the season are pretty good. I don't remember what they are, where it ended up, but I think it's high 30s. Like, he's a real 3-point shooter, and he is very, very, very much a real defensive player. Like, he is, you know, I would not necessarily on defense level, but, like, he might be a top 20 backcourt defender in the league, you know, already in his first full season. Like, he's a legit defensive player, and he's been really good on Gilgeous Alexander in the series. SGA got going more in that game than he did back in Oklahoma City, but, like, Pippen has been good on him. And even if he were just a 3-and-D combo guard, if you're a really good 3-and-D combo guard, that's a really valuable player. But there is something more with him. I think, you know, he's not a great pure point guard, but he can play the position. And so I think they really found something in him, and they have him on a good contract, and he's the kind of player. You look up at, like, the sixth man of the year conversation this year, and it's like Peyton Pritchard and Ty Jerome and Malik Beasley, those kind of players. It is super easy for me to see Scottie Pippen, like, being one of those kind of players, right? One of those level players. So I think that's a huge find for them. Santi had a good first half and then kind of wilted in the second, and that's kind of been the Santi thing a little bit. Like, when the game tightens up and, like, you really need the physicality and the defense and all of that, he's not necessarily there for it. So, I don't know. I mean, Pippen jumps out to me as a positive in that game.
Thoughts on Jaren?
The Jaren stuff is interesting. There's been a lot of interesting basketball stuff in this series, and it's just all gotten washed away in the outcomes and the anguish and the angst of it all.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's been a little bit of a chess match thing with Jaren, where there's been some adjustment and counter-adjustment, where in game two, the Grizzlies figured out some stuff with Jaren to get him going and to use him better. And I think in game three, Mark Daigneault sort of figured some stuff out too along the way. And I think a lot of people, I didn't have time to look on social media or whatever. I suspect there were a lot of people who were like, you got Alex Caruso on you. Why aren't you cooking? Or see that as some, like, damning comment on Jaren. That's the Daigneault figuring out that the best defenders for Jaren in the series were Alex Caruso and Jalen Williams, not Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren. Jaren has been cooking the bigs, especially Hartenstein. He's been struggling more with the smaller players. And that's because the way the Grizzlies have played it, when he's had bigs on him, they get him the ball in the perimeter and let him attack downhill. And when they have the smalls on him, they try to post him up. It's like the obvious thing to do. But A, those guys are smaller, but they are great post defenders, even though they're smaller. Jared is better, I think, facing up than in the post, skill-wise. And it's also easier to double and triple team him in the post. And so they play Jared with these smaller defenders who are great smaller defenders, which invites the Grizzlies to get him in the post and makes it easier for them to double and triple. And so I think that was good coaching by Dagnall. And I think Caruso was just an absolute menace on defense for everyone the whole second half. But I generally feel pretty good about Jaren's bounce back from a bad game one to, like, better games, game two and three. I mean, he doesn't need to be your number one option on offense because he's a big, right? And there's a limit there. Like, that's why you need Ja on the floor. But I think Jaren has generally acquitted himself pretty well in the context of the entire team, you know, these last couple games.
Will it surprise you if Ja plays Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, he's on crutches.
Yeah.
You're down 0-3 now. Yeah. I'll be surprised if he plays.
And here's the problem, of course, is that you can, you know, we can look back at other injuries and think, God, if Tony hadn't pulled his hamstring or if Mike hadn't broken his face. But Tony pulling a hamstring is not part of Tony, and Mike breaking his face is certainly not part of Mike. As you pointed out in your column today, you counted, I guess, four significant injuries or four injuries this year. I mean,
He said more than that injury-wise, but those are all, like, you know, contact. Like, so there was the early in the season against the Lakers, he goes up for the dunk, he gets undercut by Christian Coloco, he falls, he hits the hip. That's a major hip injury. Against New Orleans, he takes a stiff pick from Daniel Tice on his already surgically repaired shoulder. That's like a contact, hit the floor thing, injured. Golden State play-in, he goes up, he just falls, comes down on the ankle badly, twists the ankle, didn't miss time, but diminished. And then that one. So that's four. I mean, he's had other stuff. He's had, you know, the hamstring was sore and he missed time with that or whatever. But in terms of injuries that come from on-court incidents that are partly the byproduct of his play style, I mean, there's been four of those this season.
So if you were like, if you're the Sixers and they're saying, well, you know what, if only Joel Embiid were healthy, we'd be, you know, you seem a little stupid if that's what you're saying, because it's Joel Embiid and he's not healthy. Is it for different reasons? Are we to that point with Ja? Like, if Ja can put together a healthy season or a healthy playoff run, who knows what? Like, how do you view that if you're the franchise?
I think the risk of injury with him and the likelihood of missing games along the way, you know, is almost baked in with Ja at this point. But what you do with that is, I think, is relevant to what your alternatives are, right?
Right.
I mean, you can say, well, you know, Ja has these issues, so let's replace him with a guy who's just as good who doesn't have these issues. Like,
you can't just choose to do that, right?
Excuse me, I've dropped a little bit of a cough here, but and so I think you have to factor that in. It's no longer some accidental thing that happened that you assume won't happen again. You have to assume to some degree it does happen again, and you bake that into the evaluation of the player, and you take that into account when you look at what your alternatives are. And so I think that's now part of the story with Ja.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his piece and throughout the weekend. Listen, Jeffrey, I'm just going to say, I don't think they're going to win Saturday. I don't want to get depressed to bring anyone down, but I don't think they're going to win Saturday. And that means if they don't win Saturday, and by all means, I'm not trying to discourage you from going. It was a thinner crowd last night, but I'll tell you this, like, everyone who won had a blast. Now, if John's not playing, might be less have a blast. It was a blast, even though it ended the way it did. I think in total, if you went, you were glad you were there. And tomorrow, presumably, is going to be the last Grizzlies game of the season. It'll be a farewell. It's not until next year you'll see them again, whatever else. But I think it'll be the end. And then what you're going to have is Sunday, there'll be press conferences, Jeffrey.
Yep.
There'll be the exit press conferences.
Breakdown day.
And you know what happens in exit press conferences? We actually do learn things.
They
not
talk.
Always, but like the Dylan Brooks one, right? The sure. Dylan Brooks one, I think it was pretty clear heading into it that they might have been, things had gone badly with Dylan during the playoffs and LeBron stuff and everything else, right? And you wondered what his future was. He was obviously going to be a free agent anyway. You wondered what his future was. It's funny because later on you had the Shams irresponsible tweet saying the Grizzlies under no circumstances want Dylan back, which is not the words the Grizzlies used. It's no different than when they parted ways with Tony Allen, which they did, when they parted ways with Zach Randolph. You didn't see a quote that said, under no circumstances do the Grizzlies want Tony Allen back. It's just like they decided to move on. They decided it was time to move on. They didn't use the word under no circumstances. So when Shams later tweeted that, which came substantially after shutdown day, it got big headlines. It was irresponsible. And honestly, it created a sense of franchise disrespect towards Dylan that was not there. It conjured that up. If you had simply been at the breakdown press conferences, you would have realized they were parting ways. Dylan couldn't have been more obvious. It was just could not have been more obvious from both perspectives, but particularly Dylan's, that this was not going to continue. And so my point is that there will likely be a breakdown day Sunday. There will likely be interesting things said. And I will tell you this, you will likely want to read Drew Hill and Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. So it's not just today's piece that he has. It's whatever happens over the weekend as we move into the offseason. Nobody better than Drew Hill and Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. All right, we're gonna talk to John Stacey on the other side. He's got a little Memphis football interlude here, and he has a program involving veterans that I want him to talk about. We'll talk to John, and then we'll return and talk more about what to expect day two of the NFL draft and other things that are happening. Before then, I will tell you, if you are buying a diamond ring, Leaders is the place to go. Easy peasy. I remember when I had to buy a diamond ring. And I blew it completely. I've told this story before. A friend of a friend hooked me up, bought a diamond ring, later gave it to Julie. Well, later on, when we went to get it appraised, the appraiser said, this is not worth what you paid for it because it's got this giant-ass scratch here. I mean, this is ridiculous, just ridiculous. But who the hell knows? Most of us have, when you buy a diamond ring, I've never bought a diamond ring before. You walk into Dramadoom Jewelers, and it's a pleasure. A, they're passionate about diamonds. They're passionate about the process of selling you a diamond ring and of creating the perfect diamond ring. And they're so confident that they will do it that in the way they do it and in the process and in their stunning diamonds, which can be both natural or lab grown, that they have them made to be meant to be guarantee, which is just one of the things that they offer that really nobody else does. The meant to be guarantee is a 365-day, no questions asked return policy. So you throw on top of everything else, the free ring sizing for life, the free jewelry spa service for life, the financing. It's either 24 months deferred interest or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. And I'm telling you, if you were thinking about getting engaged, take a deep breath, head on into Robert Irwin Jewelers. They've got 5 locations, or check them out online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I've told you before, I'll tell you again, that if you're looking for a new financial institution, or let's say you need a home loan or a auto loan or getting your kid a bank account for the first time or whatever it is, you're just fed up with your bank, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to go. And I can say that because it's where we have been recently. App's fantastic. You just got to go to leaderscu.com/ESPN or Google Leaders Credit Union. It'll come up. You'll find the app. And because it's a credit union, this is the key. They don't have all these stockholders who have to get rich off you. Every dollar is plowed right back into better technology, better service, better rates. One of the reasons that I am so happy that we are part of the Leaders family, and I would recommend you be too. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Joined now by John Stacey. Now, John Stacey used to do a radio show, and he is a long-suffering or triumphing or whatever Memphis Tiger football fan who, among other things, drives to all the games. Do you currently have a streak going on, John? What's your streak of going to Tiger games?
179.
You've been to 179 straight.
Right. Well, the only one I didn't drive to is the only one we didn't play, and that was Hawaii. It's kind of hard to drive that across the Pacific Ocean thing. The last time I went across the Pacific Ocean, it was on an aircraft.
When was that canceled, as I recall? When did it
It was canceled the day before the game. I had reached out to Alan Cross, who was on the staff at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, "Where's the pep rally?" He said, "It's canceled." I said, "What's the pep rally canceled
You
for?
Were
said,
in Hawaii.
The game.
You were in Hawaii. You had gone to Hawaii?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the last game you missed?
Last game was UAB 2010.
That's relative hop, skip, and a jump, John.
Family medical.
Oh.
And look, this streak is as much luck as is it anything. My wife being healthy, my kids being healthy, my grandkids being healthy. Family would always come first, but
how many vehicles is it?
Oh geez, let me see. The first year was a Honda Fit, and that one got a little bit tight, so I went to a Honda Odyssey van.
Good for
you.
I've
been in RV or CRV since. Now I haven't missed a home game since '98.
Okay, so
and I've been to home games 2 days after an appendectomy, 4 days after shoulder surgery, and 5 days after breaking my femur.
Oh, my God. Of those, I think that may be the most impressive, by the way. Femur's no joke. My kid broke his femur when he was 8 months old, and it was no joke. That's when bones are flexible and heal fast. Anyway, so
better movies than chemistry.
We got the spring game Saturday. I'll take it. Yep. I take it you'll be there. But I really wanted to have you on to talk about this program that you have with veterans. Tell the folks about it.
Right. When I was doing the radio show back in the, we started in 2015, I just thought, you know what, let's get some veterans to the games. So, and I talked to a couple of people at the mental health unit down at VA, and we figured out that getting veterans with mental health issues like PTSD, drug and alcohol rehab, even the homeless veterans, to the game. So what we do is we have people buy tickets for them, and then we give them to the veterans, and we've been able to take these patients with these issues, and it's done wonders for them. it's helped them adjust to loud situations, social situations, and it's just been such a it's been a success clinically as much as it is socially. And we're really happy with it.
Do they sit together or are the seats scattered?
Yes, sir. That's one of the reasons why I've decided to go. I wanted to go with a season ticket approach this year, is because we can better plan for it. Because we have to arrange for transportation. For you know, sometimes it takes two or three vans to get them all there.
How many typically do you take to a game?
250 a year.
Oh, wow.
Wilson.
Yeah.
And we really want to do more this year. I'd love to be able to, and that's one reason for the season ticket, so we can plan accordingly right. And try and get more there. And there, so many people have been so generous with picking up the phone and calling the Memphis ticket office and getting us tickets. And we've been, it's done.
All right. So what, if people want to help and want to pitch in, you yourself, by the way, are a veteran, you're in the Navy. How do people help? Yeah.
Okay. Simple. Pick up the phone. I'll start with the current Memphis season ticket holders. If you're a current season ticket holder, call your account executive and tell them, hey, I want to buy a ticket for the VA hospital program. They know exactly what you're talking about and they'll hook you up. Our season ticket, tax included, tax and everything, is $158.65. So if you want to buy a season ticket for a veteran,
that's amazingly low. It is funny, like that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And if you're not a season ticket holder, call 678-1740. That'll get you Wesley Funk. I love his name, by the way. And he will get you, and tell him you want to get into the VA program or mention my name, and he'll know exactly what to do, and he'll hook you right up.
All right. So the number, let me just get this number again. It's 678-1470. Is that what it is?
No, 1740.
1740. See, there you go. I blew it. I knew that's why I wanted to do good. 678-1740. 678.
You know that.
Yeah,
you know the origin of that 678 prefix, don't you?
I do not.
It's MSU.
Ah.
It was something they did way back in the day when they created phone numbers and all the prefixes at the university.
678 MSU. 678-1740 if you want to help. Yeah. Or if you're a current ticket holder, call your ticket rep. Tell them you want to get involved with John Stacy's program.
And if you got any questions, feel free to contact me on Facebook. And Stacy spelt correctly as S-T-A-C-Y.
Not E-Y, no E-Y.
And
what are your, I let you go, what are your hopes for this season? Obviously, we'll get a glimpse of it tomorrow.
I'll tell you, I want to add one thing about this.
Okay.
Coach Silverfield has been incredibly active in this. And I'll share this really quick story. Is a couple of years ago, Coach gave us his tickets and his parking pass. And we had a veteran in his late 60s buy his first car in his life. And we were able to give him that parking pass, Coach Silverfield's parking pass, to park his first car.
That's
at
great.
A game.
That's fantastic.
And we got to introduce the two of them that next offseason. So,
Went one day down to the VA and saw Ryan mingling with these folks, and it was really heartening.
Oh, yeah,
so
you were there. I forgot about
it's
that.
It's good to do that.
Can I get one other thing in here?
Of course, John. My time is your time. Yeah, go ahead.
The National Veterans Golden Age Games is happening here in Memphis starting on May 31st.
Uh-huh.
You can go to the Memphis VA Hospital's Memphis Facebook page, and when they're looking for volunteers, and sponsors and stuff like that. So if you want to get involved, just go to that Facebook page. This is a national event. We'll have veterans from all over the country here to participate in the games, and it's just it's an incredible experience. And I want to publicly thank my wife for allowing me to go to all this.
There you go. John, thank you very much.
I don't do it without her.
I get that.
Questions.
I get that.
Don't hesitate to get me. Jeff, thank you very much for the time.
No problem.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. 678-1740, if you want to donate. Obviously, a great program that it's win-win. It helps people get into the stadium, and it helps a good cause. So, Jeffrey, we got the NFL draft resuming tonight. I'll be able to watch it, the whole thing now, undisturbed, rounds 2 and 3. Obviously, the suspense will be, where will Shador go? But it's not just Shador. There's other quarterbacks on the board. Just reviewing the last night's draft, and I couldn't quite immerse myself in it the way that I would have wanted to, because I was at the Grizzlies game, although the Grizzlies game was a blast. In fact, I literally, when I was just now during a break, I got a text from someone who said, I had a blast, was at the game. I had a blast last night. Every time I feel like not going, but then I go, I have the best time, and I'm always happy I went. Grizzlies games are amazing, and last night was so wonderful. Sick about the loss, but I'll always remember how joyous it was before Ja got hurt. It felt like old time. So it was fun to be there, but I like to immerse myself typically in the draft, and I couldn't. I did. One of the moments that I really enjoyed, Jeffrey, I think I may have laughed out loud, was when Laura Rutledge and who was the other person?
Colleen Wolf of the NFL Network.
Yeah. So they go on stage for a big announcement.
Yes.
This is literally
like it looks like a Steve Jobs like presentation.
This is during the first 10 picks. This is when the news was big. Here was the announcement. The announcement was the date that they were going to announce the NFL draft schedule.
Yeah, and of course this is obviously tough for the Schefter people out there, because this is normally
his scoop.
A scoop. Like, he has this.
He gets the scoop about the date
correct.
That you're going to make the announcement.
Correct. Yeah.
The NFL is so full of itself.
Last night was
nauseating.
Reft.
Or hilarious, if you want to look at it that way.
Chet, they had a flyover.
They had a flyover, a helicopter.
Yes,
chopper flyover.
Four choppers.
Four chopper flyover.
Like, it was like it was a game.
How did you think Green Bay did?
I thought Green Bay showed out.
I enjoyed the Bears still suck element to it. Like, that was comic and fun. That was fun.
The Clay Matthews thing is still weird.
I didn't think
Clay Matthews was wildly unfunny.
I liked it. I agree. But I thought that just the theme from fans
and everything else. Yeah.
Just to revel in the rivalry and the suckiness. Packers, by the way, changed up, picked on a wide receiver. How about that? Well, that was
just funny.
Double birds to Aaron Rodgers, wherever he is. And so what else struck you? You had some Make-A-Wish kids who did
Bills, the picks.
Bills one made a pick.
Broncos
pick was by a Make-A-Wish kid. How was the draft?
I thought it was a good watch. It's still weird to me that Cam Ward was the number one pick, and I felt like
he
had like no discussion.
Oh, like, it was weird that he's the number one pick. He's so wildly overlooked.
Yes.
He is a quarterback who went number one.
Yes.
And no one's talking about Cam Ward. Titans fans should feel indignant.
Yeah, or maybe like that's kind of a good thing, like kind of hiding in plain sight.
I'll say this. You saw more than I did because you watch more college football than I do. The throws he makes are like, oh, I see that.
Yes.
You know, like they weren't highlighting the throws that, but the throws he makes, honestly, it's funny because Mel is in the tank for Shador. He loves Shador, right? And when they're throwing the Shador highlights, you know what I'm struck by?
Weep.
I'm struck by how good Travis Hunter is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm struck
by. The lack of velocity.
They're lollipops. They just are. Like, they're either to open, and some of them are beautifully well timed and whatever else. But you look.
He knows how to play the position. I just don't know if he is physically good enough.
Yeah, apart from any of the other off the field nonsense, it's just literally tools. It's
I'm talking about the quarterback.
It doesn't go a million miles an hour. You look at compared to Cam. So good, interesting draft.
Had no idea why Jalen Milroe went. That made no sense to me. Was he like trying to take advantage of catering?
Yeah, you knew he wasn't going to be drafted.
Why did he go?
Like,
it makes no sense.
Yeah, the Bills pick, Maxwell Harrison.
Yes.
I know you all are interested in my thoughts.
Well, we needed a corner.
On the Bills, needed a corner, a little itty-bitty corner.
Mm-hmm.
But the best part of the Maxwell Harrison story was How did you like the hallway that they had? They had this long hallway that the draft, I thought it was kind of fun. Saw them.
They've been kind of doing this recently.
I liked it.
And then you do the hat thing.
But anyway, so Maxwell Hairston's was in the, everyone got a little area. Maxwell Hairston's was the last area, little before you entered the long hallway that took you out to the stage.
Right.
So he was greeting every player who was drafted, and he was dapping them up.
Yeah.
And he was so joyously happy for them. And every time one of them drafted, you know what that meant? He wasn't drafted.
Correct.
He couldn't have been happier. I don't know if he's going to be good or not. You tell me he is going to be good.
Yeah.
He's fast. He's a little itty-bitty guy, relatively speaking.
Stoops those DBs.
But his happiness at his fellow draftees' happiness, even though they were taken with picks that could have gone to him, he's got that Bills DNA.
Great teammate.
He couldn't have been a chief.
Great teammate.
No, he does have a little bit. Seems like a great teammate.
But that's a good thing.
Seems like a great
teammate. He plays defense.
Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Anthony Sain and Parth Upadhyay will join them today. Tim Murray will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Blake Topmeyer going to join us during the first hour. And Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to take a
draft.
I'm going to take a nap. Then I'm going to draft.
Rest up for the draft.
I'm going to rest up for the draft. Yeah, then I'm going to do the draft. And we'll be back. Jeffrey won't be because he's got a much-deserved vacation, which, by the way, won't extend to his show. He will still be doing his show all next week. But I'll be on my own, or with George.
George will be
next Monday. So we'll rejoin you then. Have a great weekend. For now, work is done.